Sorry, I got a side looker. Is that okay that I said that?
No, that's great.
Welcome to the Redemption Recap, reminding you of what is happening here at Redemption. Here is today's episode.
Hello, friends. My name is Jordan. I am the host of the Redemption Recap, a podcast reminding you what is happening here at Redemption Church. I am really excited. Today in the studio, we have Kayla Rowe. Hey, Kayla.
Hello.
And also, we have a special guest, which is Steve Whitlow. Hey, Steve.
Right, and you got it right. It is Steve, not Stephen.
We practiced this once.
At least once. So, yeah. But if he calls me Stephen, we'll just go with it.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate you forgiving me with that.
Yeah. We'll start out with forgiveness.
Okay, great. Yes. Well, hey, Steve, I am so excited that you are here today. And it's fun when we get to bring other people that are a part of the church, that are on staff, to really get to know them and those individuals that might be maybe a little bit more behind the scenes. And because of that, I would like to talk with you a little bit about what is your role here at Redemption Church, if you don't mind sharing that with us.
Sure. So besides being a candy man in the lobby, I am my official role is executive pastor, which really entails two primary responsibilities. The first is to handle the money, which I count a privilege to be a part of just the financial side of Redemption and making sure that we're doing everything properly and in a manner that really shows great stewardship. Mm-hmm. So that's my first and primary role. The second is to oversee the building, and I have a great team that assists in that, Jason being the primary one there, but just to make sure that the building is presentable, that it's well-kept and well-maintained.
Yeah, and I will say you do an amazing job at the things that you do, and I'm not just saying that because, you know, I'm supposed to say that, but because I mean it, you really do a great job keeping everything.
Well, thank you. It's a privilege to be able to serve in this capacity.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. So obviously, you have a very different redemption story when it comes time for the church itself, because obviously Stephen is your son. So I would like to know. Sorry, I got a side looker. Is that okay that I said that?
That's great. Yes, he is. Stephen would refer to himself as the perfect middle child.
Of course he would.
We need to define perfect though. Perfect in this instance is he has an older brother and an older sister and a younger brother and a younger sister. So they would not come close to using the term perfect when describing their brother, though.
I'm loving this already. This is going to be a fun day.
See, I thought I was going to be the one to attack, but it's much easier to attack Stephen. And as part of my other role is he's my son. I'm not sure whether he can fire me or I can ground him and which one trumps the other. So that's my role.
I love it. Yeah. It's so good. So when it comes time for your redemption story, let's just talk about what a little bit about your faith that brought you to your redemption moment. And then maybe if you're willing to share, what brought you to redemption as the church?
Yeah. My story in some ways would probably be considered a boring redemption story.
Okay.
I don't ever remember not going to church. I can't point to a time where I was the prodigal. Maybe I am the older brother, literally in my family, but I don't know that I ever had the role of the older brother, at least as described in the parable of Jesus. I grew up in church. I shared in partnership track one this past week that in looking at Sundays, I probably have gone to church or could have potentially gone to church 3,068 Sundays over the last 58 or 59 years.
Wow.
And I would estimate that I probably went at least minimum of 3,050 of those weeks.
Wow.
And probably a higher number than that. So I've always been in church. Went to Bible school for 2 years down in Georgia. Ended up going into manufacturing for about 40 years. And then through a set of circumstances, found myself without work and was yet too early to retire, but kind of late to start something new.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephen and Frank and Tom had planted the church, and we had launched the church. I had been a part of it, but not certainly in a leadership role.
Mm-hmm.
And then Stephen came to me one day and said, "Hey, why don't you start doing the books for me?" And so I started doing that on a volunteer basis in a room not much bigger than what we're in here. That was our church.
Oh, wow.
Because we were meeting at the cinemas at Levis, and so we had a small little office over in Perrysburg.
Yeah.
And so that's that was our church.
Yeah.
I started doing that and then found myself enjoying it. And then July of 2020 came along when the world was a little bit crazy mm-hmm. and a little bit unsure of what was going to happen. And this building that we find ourselves in became available. And I had been in charge of a building very similar in size with about 60 people reporting to me.
Oh, wow.
And so Stephen said, "You know, you can handle the building and you don't really have anybody reporting to you, but you can find some volunteers and we can whip this building into shape in 8 weeks and we can open it during COVID and invite people to church when the government is telling us not to gather and not to do all those things."
Yeah.
And so that's kind of a quick summary of part of my redemption story.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, hey, thanks for sharing that. That's really cool to see how all this plays together and your redemption story and what brings us here, which speaking of being here, obviously most of us have been at the church for a while and we know that we're currently in the He Saves Us series, which is combating the He Gets Us. I don't want to call it series, but the
narrative.
Yes, narrative that's been going around. So far everybody that's been on the podcast, I've asked the question, when have you seen the He Gets Us campaign? I know that, Kayla, you and I chatted about this at one point in time. So, Steve, I'm putting you on the hot seat. When do you remember seeing this?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it prior to the past Super Bowl, but obviously a prominent role there in the Super Bowl commercials.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say that's the biggest moment for me of seeing it.
What was your first response to it when you first saw it?
So prior to the Super Bowl and just seeing it, there was a, "Well, this is good."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he does.
Mm-hmm.
But then the more you see it and the more you start to notice that there's something more to this message than just what they're saying,
mm-hmm.
That then you begin to question.
Yeah. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
I've said this, I think the last couple of podcasts or the last couple of episodes where we're talking about this is it's that feeling behind it that you're like, something does not right. It's like almost like you're missing something within the context.
Absolutely. Because it's clear he does.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm grateful that he gets me,
mm-hmm.
That he knows me, even as Stephen has referred to a couple times, better than I even know myself.
Yeah.
So it's, you want to serve a God who gets you, who knows you, who knows the number of hairs on your head.
Mm-hmm.
He does get us. He knows what's in our heart. And often we may not even completely realize mm-hmm. what's in our heart or in our subconscious, but it's there and he knows it. So, so that's great,
mm-hmm.
but I don't want him just to know it. I want him to do something about it.
Yeah.
So,
which is interesting because the sermon that we had this past week was from the paralytic, Did I say that right? It's the paralytic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So obviously we had the sermon. We're talking about the paralytic man. And let's go into scripture now, which I believe it is Mark 2, 1 through 12. Let's read that so that we can get reacquainted with the story before we have more of the discussion.
All right. It says, "And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.' Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?' And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, 'Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Rise up, take your bed and walk"? But that you may know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home.' And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they all were amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We never saw anything like this.'"
It's interesting, and I'm new at this, so I don't know if I'm allowed to interrupt, but
most definitely.
I will interrupt. Just as Kayla was reading that, the immediate thought went to my mind of verse 8, but immediately when Jesus perceived in their spirit, he got them.
Yeah.
He saw within them even their deep innermost thoughts.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
You actually, I was about to say, hey, what are your thoughts? So you beat me to it. Were you reading my mind at that
moment?
I was
anticipating. Yeah. I was like, Jesus, I got you. And I just said that. No.
Yeah. Well, cool. Hey, Kayla, what stood out to you in this?
I was thinking on this a little bit, and I feel like one of the things that kind of stood out to me the most was thinking of the four men that brought the paralytic in.
Mm-hmm. And the friends.
Yeah, the friends. And we talk often about what is humility, and humility being putting others' needs or considering others before yourself. And thinking through, it's very unlikely that these four men didn't have needs of their own, that they also didn't have sins that need forgiven, mm-hmm. or even physical needs that needed met. But in their friendship, they saw the greater need in their friend, that their friend needed like a moment with Jesus. And so it was putting aside almost their own needs in that moment and in faith, bringing their friend before Jesus. And I do think it's just a beautiful picture of humility within friendship.
Most definitely. Yeah. I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
So when I was reading this and when I was, the part that really caught my eye was that they tore the roof off. Like there was like that physical obstacle that they're like, we're not going to let this get in our way. Let's rip this roof off, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's a good reminder for us that like a lot of obstacles are going to get in our way in our journey. And are we going to turn around in that moment? Are we going to say, well, how are we going to do this? Or are we going to just, all right, let's try to figure this out. Let's get through this together as friends, as family, as brothers and sisters in Christ. You know,
yeah.
It's just kind of a cool representation of like, I need to get to Christ. I need to break through in this moment, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a, interesting, idea or point that this man, he was totally helpless.
Mm-hmm.
And so without his friends, he would have never got to Jesus.
No.
There was no way. Now, could Jesus have gone by him? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the story. The story is he needed someone to get him to Jesus.
Yeah.
And then I don't think you can miss in the story that there was an actual physical change in him. So
most definitely.
Not that Jesus just got him, but he changed him.
Yeah, he saved him in that moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the paralytic man, you know, Stephen went into a little bit about the paralytic man where he said that he was helpless. He had faith. And at the end of the story, he was completely changed or transformed.
Mm.
So like I'm thinking through this process. It's because of his friends that got him to Jesus. Mm. It's because of his friends saying, like, no obstacle is going to get me in the way of getting my friend to Jesus. So how can we apply the paralytic man and his restoration story, how can we apply that to our lives? Because, I mean, I'm going to be really honest with you. Don't get me wrong. I have back pain every so often, but I am not paralyzed, you know? How can we apply this to our life in modern time?
When I said, in some ways, my redemption story was boring, that doesn't mean there haven't been moments where, mm-hmm. Not physically paralyzed, but certainly emotionally, spiritually, and in some ways, physically paralyzed as life's events have hit me.
Yeah.
And so I cannot relate to the man not physically being able to move, but I understand not wanting to move spiritually or emotionally and mm-hmm. just being stuck in a moment and desperately wanting friends and needing friends.
Yeah.
So
I like to, not to oversimplify it, because I think it's important that both the spiritual need was met and also there was a physical transformation that happened as well. I think sometimes if I'm applying to myself, I'll see physical things that I want to be dealt with and I want them dealt with now. And I want to see immediate results and I want to see an immediate change. And I do think that like there is something powerful in the fact that it's not that Jesus saw him and healed him first and then forgave him of his sins. He like dealt with the spiritual transformation first. And I think sometimes if I'm being vulnerable, I like, yes, I want the spiritual transformation to happen, but it's more fun when the physical one happens.
Oh, for sure.
And so it's a good reminder to me that like, sometimes you do just have to take the time to let the spiritual one happen so that then the physical one can happen, or the spiritual one might happen and the physical one might not happen even in the same moment.
Yeah.
And how my desire should be more for the spiritual transformation.
Yeah.
Not that God in his goodness isn't going to bless us with the physical things, because we see time and time again, he does meet those needs. But is my priority the spiritual one, or is my priority the physical one? And sometimes I have to check myself on that.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a conversation in my household right now that is both, if you want to be physically healed, you have to deal with the spiritual. And there's this back and forth that's going on, not in a negative way, but it's just thinking through the process of this. What does this look like? How does this change us? You know what I mean? And, you know, I'm a firm believer, and so is my wife, that in order for the physical to sometimes actually be healed, you have to take care of the spiritual, and you have to get rid of those sins. You have to draw closer to Christ and so on. Because let's be real, Christ is the one that does the healing. Mm. And in this man, in this story, the paralytic man was right in front of Christ. Mm. He was right there, so he was close in some ways, intimate in a way, because you know, Jesus looks at him and says, son, be healed. You know, there's that intimacy there because of just that verbiage. So like we have to be close spiritually in order to also be healed physically.
There's always seems to be this parallel thing going mm-hmm. on that God is concerned about our physical,
mm-hmm.
But in many ways, he is more concerned about our spirit
mm-hmm.
and what's going on inside of us. We know ultimately we get a brand new body
that is
completely whole, mm-hmm. completely new. In this world, in this time, you know, that may or may not occur.
Mm-hmm.
But to be healed spiritually mm-hmm. Is really our ultimate, it is the ultimate healing.
Mm-hmm.
My physical body may fail me,
mm-hmm.
But if my spirit is alive, then I'm alive forevermore. Not that physical healing isn't important, and that he is our healer, and he does heal us. And he wants to teach us through these processes.
Yeah.
And so in this case, we celebrate that we get to see both of them, which is a great story.
Amen.
So
let's take a quick break to hear what's happening at Redemption Church.
Want a Bible study that is simple and meaningful? Sign up for Redemption's Daily Dig. Head over to experienceredemption.com to receive a short daily devotional delivered to your inbox each morning. The Daily Dig, discipleship tools delivered to your inbox.
So currently we're talking about the paralytic man and how his friends really did whatever it took for them to get him to Christ. I want this type of friendship, friends that will basically do whatever it takes to bring somebody to Christ. So the question that we should ask in this moment is, what can we learn from these four men when it comes time for friendship? And also, how does this translate, or how should this be modeled in our current friendship?
I think there are clearly multiple ways to look at this, but probably two that come to the top of my mind. The first is just the idea of getting those that are non-believers. That you knock down whatever wall, you do whatever you have to do to get that person to Jesus. But then there's also the side of friendship of your brother or sister in Christ, and when they find themselves in a time of need of of helping them get to Christ. And so, you know, I shared a little bit about my boring redemption story. There was a moment about 15, 16 years ago where it all of a sudden became not boring, and it became very difficult. And I was, I would say I was paralyzed. And so I didn't know how to move or where to move or what to do. And I knew a lot of people, but can't say that I had friends.
Gotcha.
And so it became imperative to have friends.
Yeah.
And so I showed up to this life group with a bunch of guys at Panera, and we became friends. And what we found were that many of us were either going through or had gone through a very similar life experience. It's Paul saying that we are to comfort others in those areas where we have needed comfort. And so I found myself in that area with a group of about eight guys. Okay. And I will say that, you know, that was probably 15 years ago, and I'm still good friends with many of them.
Yeah.
A couple of them are in my groups currently. And so guys like Jeff Cole, who you see back there acting crazy with the kids, and JD, if you know him, Jeff Driver, we all called him JD because there were three other Jeffs in the group, and they've just been very close friends, and they helped me through a very difficult time in my life.
Yeah, I feel like when I look at the four men and attributes that like I would want to like apply to my friendship or even that I would want to receive from friends, I really like I know we already talked about this, but them taking the roof off, there was this persistence in their like desire to see freedom come. And I think sometimes in friendships we can be like quick to give up or quick to not want to overstep or maybe hesitant to push too hard. And I do think that there's something to be said for like kindness and compassion and not coming on too strong, but also when like your friend is ready to experience Christ, like making sure, like if there's a hindrance back, like if there's a block in the way, we're moving it out of the way. Mm-hmm. We're getting there. And yeah. I'm just as excited for your freedom as you are for your freedom. And it's this like forward movement together. And I think that's something that like an attribute that I want to be better in, but also I want in the friends that I bring into my life.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because in the man's healing, there's that pronoun that we're unsure who it applies to about that Jesus saw their faith.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is the four friends or is it the four friends and the guy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's probably a combination of all of them, but there was the faith of the friends that helped accomplish his miracle.
Yeah.
So
I read an interesting, it was like Blue Letter commentary or something like that about that particular moment. And one of the things that it said is that they're unsure if it was the paralytic man because he may have been in so much pain that he may not have been able to process what was going on around him. Mm-hmm. So it could have been, I know this man can heal me. I can't verbally say this. You know, I can't give any indication, but it's I know you are my last hope.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it's because of his friends doing the due diligence of getting him there that really made it so that Jesus could say, because of your faith, you know?
Which those are the kind of friends we want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And those are the kind of friends that we should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know, at least for us, Jordan, it seems like that for guys, that's a much harder thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
To be open to somebody or to show a little weakness that I actually need somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And for a guy, that's, sometimes that's hard to admit.
It is tough.
And we don't want to admit, which is wrong, because we do need that friendship and we do need others, which is, you know, why I would say to a guy, man, you need to be a part of a group of guys that love Jesus and are trying to walk that same path that you're trying to walk with, and that we need to help each other and encourage each other. It is to bear one another's burdens. Mm-hmm. And yes, I know we're to bear our own, but there is a part of that of bearing one another's burdens.
Mm-hmm.
So guys, come on. Get involved with some other guys.
Yeah.
Open the Word, read it together, share life together, because there's going to be a moment, I'll guarantee you, at least one, where you're going to need some friends like this guy had.
Amen to that. Yeah. I've always been told, like, who you surround yourself with, you'll start picking up their characteristics, whether it's good or bad.
Yeah.
So in this moment, most definitely, you want to have those good friends that are talking life into you, you know?
Yeah.
So we've talked about the paralytic man. We've talked about the four friends. And I briefly want to talk about the crowd. And it's very easy to look at the crowd and go, there's nothing really defining about the crowd besides the fact that there were many and that they were kind of faceless. And they kind of go with the flow. Like, if there's a certain trend at that moment, they kind of go with the trend at that moment. And I find it interesting because towards the end of the sermon yesterday, Stephen had mentioned that he never wants us to turn into the crowd. We as believers here at Redemption, and I mean, I would say even believers at large, I don't think we should ever have the mentality of the crowd. Mm. We should be firm in what we believe and shouldn't sway depending on what's going on in our modern world. If we had a couple words to say to the crowd and they would actually turn and listen with intent ears, which they do when Jesus speaks, What should we say to the crowd of modern time?
Go for it, Kayla. I want to think about this one a little longer.
I feel like most of the people in the crowd, if Jesus were to be saying from the stage, like, bear your brother's burdens, right? Like, in that moment, they're like, yes, we want that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that some of this ties into kind of what Steve was saying in the sense that, like, we are called to bear others' burdens, but we also need to take responsibility for ourselves. So are you currently being the kind of person that desires to see other people in Christ as much as you desire to see your own healing?
Mm-hmm.
Are you the person that is looking out further than just the circle that's right in front of you?
Yeah.
Because part of the thing that defines friendship versus the crowd is really care or a lack of care for those around you. And the lack of care might not be on purpose. It could just be distraction or whatever it is that's causing you not to see. But we always want to be a people or a church that is seeing the needs of those around us, who's willing to if we can meet those needs, meet the needs or bring them to Christ so that Christ can meet those needs. And then making sure that we're continuing to walk alongside them. It's not like a, your needs have been met and now you're forgotten. It's like, oh, we're in this together. We're all moving forward together.
Mm, that's good.
Yeah, I think it's easy to be become a part of the crowd.
Yeah.
And Stephen mentioned that the crowd was hindering the man mm-hmm. from being able to approach Jesus,
yeah.
Which we never want to be a church mm-hmm. where we're that way of hindering somebody
Agreed.
From having an encounter with Jesus. I mean, that's our purpose,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is for people to encounter him and to be changed by him. But I think there's also, just as Kayla was talking there, I was thinking that the crowd observed the miracle,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but they didn't participate
no.
in
yeah.
the miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we can also find ourselves in that same position of, I observe what's going around
mm-hmm.
At Redemption, but I'm not participating. Mm-hmm. And so we want to be participants as well, or mm-hmm. as we would refer to it here, a partner.
A
partner in the gospel,
yeah.
And not a roadblock in the gospel.
Amen.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's so good. I love that. Well, hey, thank you guys so much for your time. It's been a blast getting to talk with you, Steve. Not Steven.
Yeah, nope. You got it right. You didn't even mess up one time, so that's great. It's been fun.
Yeah, been awesome. Yeah. And Kayla, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it. And thank you guys for joining us, too. We really appreciate you taking time to listen. If you're watching this on YouTube, do me a big favor. And down in the description, hit that subscribe button so you do not miss a thing. This will let you know anytime that we release new content. If you are listening to this via Spotify or even the Apple Podcasts, give us a follow. Give us a 5-star review so that you will let us know how we're doing. This gives us an opportunity to see how we can improve and honestly let you know anytime that we release new content, whether it is the sermon or it is the Redemption Recap. And lastly, I just want to say thank you for your time, and we will catch you guys on the next one.
The Redemption Recap is an extension of Redemption Church. For more information about the church, please visit experienceredemption.com. Thanks for stopping by.